Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 72. My name is John. Second verse, same as the first. Do not be alarmed. This is not going to be a religious themed episode. But I want to start by using a religious concept as a springboard. In the Christian scriptures, Jesus distills all of his rules down to two simple messages. Love God, love your neighbor. According to that scripture, the idea is that all of the laws of Christianity come from those two concepts. Some Christians will distill it even further to one word, love. So it's supposed to make it simple. If somebody tries to make a rule that doesn't show a love for God or a love for other people, then it's not a good rule. In the morass of American society today, there are so many laws and rules that it is impossible to live your life without breaking some kind of law that could get you into trouble. Compound that with the various opinions on what it means to be moral on top of what is considered legal, and you can find yourself in the middle of a shitstorm that could cost you everything. We like to think we are an evolved, civilized society. We're not. In general, society is still cliques of people forming uneasy alliances in a desperate and gluttonous quest to wrestle power and denigrate whichever other clique you all hate. This is on display right now, with the presidential race in full swing. By the way, remember when people didn't even announce their candidacy for president until the spring of an election year? Sometimes I wonder if this year-and-a-half-long process just makes it more of a circus, of a spectacle. And it seems like presidents spend their 4 to 8 years in office campaigning for their re-election or their party's continued dominance as much as they do anything else. So, while the Democrats and Republicans waste billions of dollars in campaign finance and aggravate us with hundreds of hours of debates and advertisements, all designed to convince us that one side is pure and perfect and will make the world pure and perfect for you and your children, and that the other side is a gang of cleverly disguised demons scheming to literally drag you and your children into the third level of hell. Can I just say, I'm sick and tired of all of their shit. It's muddled. It's messy. It's convoluted. So let me see if I can simplify it for you. I can distill my philosophy down to two rules. Okay, it's not my philosophy, but it's the one I've adopted. The libertarian wants individual freedom and personal responsibility. That's what I believe in. Let's look at the two big government political parties, since they're the ones who get the spotlights, and see what they believe. Maybe even try to distill it down as well. First off, the Democrats. Even though there are various factions within the party, the faction currently in the driver's seat is the liberal faction. Now, the term liberal has been around for quite some time. 100 years ago, a liberal would have described what today is known as a libertarian. That's why you'll sometimes hear libertarians refer to themselves as classical liberal. That's not the philosophy of the neoliberals. The neoliberal wants individual freedom and collective responsibility. What does that mean? On the surface, the neoliberal advocates for you to live your life how you want. You're a teenager who wants to have unprotected sex? Fine. But what if you or the girl you're having sex with gets pregnant? Well, that's society's problem. We need to raise taxes so we can have programs that will help take care of those children. And by take care, that could mean actually taking care and nurturing the child, or it could mean taking care of it in an abortion clinic. You want to use drugs? Fine. But what if your drug use damages your body? Well, that's society's problem. We need to raise taxes to make people aware of the dangers of drugs and provide healthcare services for users. You think life is too hard and you don't want to put forth the effort that can make your life better? Fine. But what if that leads you to a life of squalor? Well, that's society's problem. We need to raise taxes so we can provide welfare for people who just can't seem to do it for themselves. You know, for the past month or so, I've been really stressed out because of my current job situation. I've been stress eating and not watching my diet. I'd been doing pretty well there for a while. I was eating a lot more vegetables and watching my portions. I was steadily losing weight, fitting into clothes I hadn't gotten too big for. But work has been really bad lately. I got shifted off the account I had been on for years. And at first, I was supposed to go to another account, but the training in that place is just god-awful. Their idea of training is to sit you with somebody who's already stretched thin and trying to learn the account from them. It's highly ineffectual, and I've been saying that for some time now, and offering my experience as a trainer to improve things, and gotten silence from management. Then I volunteered for a support position, but literally 10 minutes after I accepted the position, an upper management person changed the description of the job and turned it into a shit task that another division is supposed to do, but are understaffed and can't do it effectively. This actually pissed off the middle management guy who had my position created because his division was so overwhelmed. That put me in the middle of a power struggle between two managers, but it doesn't matter because a third manager keeps pulling me back to do the job that I was never properly trained to do. 3 years ago, when I was still new there, I sat in the break room while some of these same people mocked a rival company because of their poor inter-office communication and horrible understaffing. Now we've become that which they once mocked. So I'm stress eating. I'm eating a lot of pizza. I had a Luther burger. For those poor unfortunate souls who don't know, a Luther burger is a bacon cheeseburger with a glazed donut for a bun. Don't you dare make that face like it's the most disgusting thing you've ever heard until you've tried it, because it's really frickin' good. I'm having Chinese food buffet, Indian food buffet, pulled pork sandwiches. It's bad. I've gained back most of the weight I lost over the past year. That being said, neoliberals think you should have to pay for my eventual medical bills. Why should you have to pay for my lifetime of poor eating habits? Why should you have to pay for someone else's lifetime of a pack-a-day cigarette habit? Why should you have to pay for someone else's birth control? Why should you have to pay for someone else's heroin habit? Why should you have to pay for someone else's alcoholism? Why? Because to neoliberals, health care is not a personal responsibility. It is a collective responsibility. I'm hoping you can start to see the flaws in their philosophy. On the other side, we have the Republicans. And once again, there are many factions within the Republican Party, but right now, the ones in the driver's seat are the conservatives. The conservatives want personal responsibility and collective freedom. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me give you an example. We are now well into our second decade of the War on Terror. We have been in nearly nonstop war or fear of pending war for as long as I can remember. And a case can be made that we have been in such a state of war or fear of pending war for the past century. As such, patriotism these days is considered to be very important. The way the conservatives look at it, you have to take care of your personal responsibility. You have to wake up every morning and go to work and do your job to support yourself and your family and pay your taxes and live a healthy, clean lifestyle, preferably in a heteromonogamous marriage where you raise your kids to celebrate the 4th of July and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and put your hand over your heart and sing the national anthem at every single sporting event, and you all regularly attend church or synagogue if you must and pray for the safety of the troops that your taxes pay for, because they're out there protecting your freedom every day. Because if you don't, the terrorists win. Yeah, you have to do your personal responsibility, because we are all in this together. And we will only make this country great if we all do our personal best. Within the parameters of the conservative collective guidelines for good living, of course. I've said it before. I know Judge Andrew Napolitano has said it many times before because he's the first person I ever heard say this. Republicans and Democrats are two sides of the same coin. Every 4 years, we flip the coin to see which side it lands on. Every 4 years, we are given the illusion of choice, when all we are really doing is determining which faction of the big government duopoly is going to take the lead. The problem is, when the conservatives are in power, our individual freedom erodes. And when the neoliberals are in power, our will to be personally responsible erodes. Who am I kidding? Individual freedom and the will to be personally responsible erodes no matter which faction is in charge. So it doesn't really matter which side takes control of the presidency, or the House of Representatives, or the Senate, or even the Supreme Court. Either way, we lose. Hey Siri, what is a duopoly?
I found an entry about duopoly on Wikipedia. Shall I read it to you?
Yes.
A true duopoly is a specific type of oligopoly where only two producers exist in one market. In reality, this definition is generally used where only two firms have dominant control over a market. In the field of industrial organization, it is the most commonly studied form of oligopoly due to its simplicity.
Thank you, Siri.
Don't mention it.
The duopoly, fittingly, only wants two things. Obtain power and retain power. Conservatives want to steer the country in the direction of their agenda. Neoliberals want to steer the country in the direction of their agenda. However, neither option is in the direction of constitutional liberties, respect for individual freedom, and expecting people to be responsible for the choices they make. There is absolutely no reason to believe things are going to change with the upcoming presidential election. There has been a minor effort from the Bernie Sanders people to persuade libertarian voters to side with them under the facade of Sanders-style freedom. I was thinking earlier, at first, that the ends were the same, but the means were different. Sanders people were saying that they want drugs, specifically marijuana, to be legal, and they want gay marriage legalized. So, if you're okay with free health care and education, then libertarians may as well feel the burn. But my assessment was not accurate. Fascist leftists and libertarians do not share the same ends, much less the same means. Yes, libertarians want people to use drugs if they want. But Sanders people, like most pro-government people who advocate for legalization, want drugs to be legalized so they can exploit the users with sin taxation. You haven't regained your right to use marijuana in Washington or Colorado. You have paid the ransom of your rights to the government. You can only use marijuana if it is on the government's narrow terms, and if you pay the proper taxes. Libertarians want marijuana decriminalized, and many libertarians like myself want all drugs decriminalized. And we advocate for government to get out of the way and let the free market, in other words the people, regulate the industry. The only time government needs to be involved is when rights are violated. Even the appearance of regaining a freedom is a facade. Yes, libertarians want people to marry whoever they want. But Sanders people, like most pro-government people who advocate for gay marriage legalization, want government to continue to control the definition of marriage so they can license it and profit from you. And I'll keep saying this until it starts sinking in. You haven't gained the right to marry whomever you want. You have granted the government control over the definition of marriage. Libertarians know nothing is free. All goods and services come from work and people who deserve market-driven compensation for their labor. Sanders' philosophy would try to make you believe that all that work doesn't really exist, that money will magically appear from thin air that will pay for the hard work that people do to provide things his cronies deem to be free. You want education to be free? It's simple. Force teachers to work voluntarily without pay. You want healthcare to be free? Force doctors, nurses, and their support staff, as well as the people who build the machines that diagnose disease and help create cures, to work without any compensation. If you can justify that, then you can have your education and healthcare for free. But if you can't justify those people not getting compensated for their work, then how can you justify your pay for your work? And if you can't justify your pay, how can you justify anybody else's? And if you can't justify anybody's pay, then what is the incentive to work with any kind of effort? I'm pretty sure I've told this story before, so sorry if this is redundant for you. On the other hand, thanks for listening enough to know that I've repeated myself. But about 4 years ago, I was sitting in Mars Pizza in San Antonio with my cousin and his wife having dinner. My cousin is a longtime member of the Republican Party, and his wife is right there with him. By that point in my life, I had detached myself from the loyalty that I once had to the Republicans. I never officially joined the party, but I usually voted for them in any given election. I started drifting away during the later part of the Bush administration. I didn't understand the awful stimulus package he advocated for during his last year. Keep in mind that Senator Barack Obama supported that legislation. After holding my nose and voting for McCain in 2008, I was repulsed by the Republican stance of now opposing Obama for doing basically the same thing Bush had done with the stimulus. The company I worked for at the time, American Express, took $3 billion in the second round of stimulus money. It is important to understand two things about this. First, American Express did not qualify for the stimulus. So they changed a small part of their company in order to get the government funds. The government funds, of course, were our tax dollars. And second, the stimulus was done in order to, in their words, save and create jobs. Within 6 months of taking the billions of dollars in government money, American Express laid off 11,000 people. Politicians can talk in broad generalizations and spun statistics to tell you how they have saved and created jobs, but 11,000 people laid off, that is the reality. Next time you see the mega corporation of American Express ironically advertising Small Business Saturday, remember what they are really about. Big corporation got in bed with big government, but it was the little guy who got fucked. That was a double shot of stimulus, first by Bush, then by Obama, supported by both major political parties. But the Republicans got all pissy when Obama did it. Now, I was already starting to wake up wondering what the fuck was going on. But for a political party to go against a policy that it fully backed a year before made me realize I was on the wrong side. But it also showed me that the side I wanted to be on was the side of truth and liberty. And that would mean going against both the Democrats and the Republicans. That year, a seed was planted in my brain that eventually developed into this podcast, which is now about to wrap its sixth year. Happy anniversary to me. I also decided to be a little more vocal politically, especially in the 2012 election year. My personal Facebook page took equal pot shots at both parties. This led to my cousin's wife calling me out at dinner. They supported Romney because he was the only one who could stop Obama, and the Republicans had to win. Because Romney just had to win. I had to set aside my libertarian principles and vote Republican. She said, "We understand your libertarian principles because those are ours too, but we need to win." If libertarian principles are your principles, then why aren't you voting for them? And if you're trying to say that libertarian principles are Republican principles, then why doesn't the Republican nominee reflect that? And if the nominee doesn't reflect that, and the Libertarian nominee does, why not vote for the Libertarian? This goes to the heart of the wasted vote theory. According to the proponents of the two-party system, unless you vote for one or the other, your vote is wasted. Unless you plug into their system, to the way they want you to do things, then what you have to say is wasted. I'm ashamed to say I used to believe that. I used to advocate voting for the lesser of two evils, or as I would put it, voting for the guy you dislike the least. That's why I held my nose and voted for McCain. But by 2012, I knew that if my conscience was to ever be clear, I could never vote that way again. That isn't to say that I will only vote for a person who believes everything I believe. If that were the case, I would have to write in my name because I'm the only one who believes everything I believe. But if I find a candidate that I can agree with on over 90% of the issues, both those I deem important and those I think can wait, then I'm going to cast my ballot for that person. And all the chumps out there who compromised their beliefs just to get a win, who compromised their beliefs in order to get some liar elected, some politician who optimistically shared half their values, those are the ones who wasted their vote. A wasted vote happens when a voter sacrifices his or her beliefs in favor of a hollow victory for a political party. I have a theory. And that theory is, if people voted their conscience, the Republican Party would crumble. If people voted with an understanding of economic principles, the Democrat Party would fall apart. Seriously, what the hell is it with the Democrats? For a party that claims to be all about fairness, they sure do encourage their followers to take what they want at the expense of other people. And while I'm at it, what the hell is it with the Republicans? For a party that claims to be all about individual rights, they sure do encourage their followers to support legislation that demands uniformity. Over the past few years, we've had the Tea Party and the Occupy movements vying for attention. One championed a less intrusive government. The other advocated for the dismantling of corporatism. Right now, the Republicans appear to be offering up Donald Trump, the poster boy for corporatism, commonly known as crony capitalism, which is an oxymoron. The Democrats appear to be offering up Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, who are basically a few rungs apart from each other near the top of the ladder of socialism. Big corporation on one side, big government, or more to the point, bigger government, on the other side. This is how the big government duopoly has responded to the grassroots voice of the people. The people who wanted less intrusive government, and the people who wanted to dismantle corporatism. And these are the candidates they give us in response. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are what the major political parties are offering up to you as supposed outsiders to the status quo. They are doubling down on their control. No matter which of these two parties is in control 1 year from now, the American people will lose. If you were voting for the lesser of two evils, wouldn't you like to stop putting an evil politician in the Oval Office or in Congress? What would happen if everyone voted for a candidate who most closely matched their beliefs, instead of placing all their misguided hope on a person who barely shares half their values? What would happen if we stopped playing their game on their terms? What would happen if we practiced the liberty we claim to love? What if we took back the personal freedom that the government has slowly taken away from us for generations? What if you did vote your principles? And what if we all started with this election? Oh, hey, look! Gary Johnson's running to be the Libertarian candidate for president. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.